Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SRF Limited Q3 FY24 earnings call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Vora from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Q3 and nine-month FY24 results conference call. We have with us today Mr. Rahul Jain, President and CFO of SRF Limited. While we will hear Rahul's thoughts on the results as well as outlook shortly, but before that, let me invite Ms. Nikita Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communication at SRF, to initiate proceedings for the results call. Over to you, Nikita.
Everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited Q3 and nine-month FY24 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Jain to make his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikita, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on SRF's Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings conference call. I trust all of you have had the opportunity to go through the results presentation shared with you earlier. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the key highlights for the period under review, following which we will open the forum for a Q&A session. We have reported lower revenues and profitability during the quarter, with both our chemicals and packaging film segments continuing to witness a tough environment. During the quarter, gross operating revenues declined by 12% YOY to 3,053 crore. EBIT was lower by 37% YOY to rupees 457 crore. Profit after tax came in at 253 crore in Q3 FY24, down by about 50% YOY. Coming to our segmental performance, in Q3 FY24, our chemicals business reported lower revenues of 1,394 crore, down 21%. Within the chemical segment, our specialty chemical business faced challenges attributed to ongoing inventory rationalization by certain key customers. On a positive note, we witnessed some improvement in the later part of the quarter and expect this momentum to continue in the coming months. While the external environment was difficult, we believe that fundamentally the specialty chemicals business is in good shape, both in terms of products, new products, and capability. We are consistently expanding our new product portfolio and our pipeline for complex downstream products and active intermediates remain on track. During the quarter, we introduced three new products in the agro vertical and successfully commissioned two large dedicated agro facilities. This not only demonstrates our commitment to growth but is also a reflection of our customers' confidence in SRF's ability to consistently deliver highly complex products, even amidst short-term market fluctuations. Furthermore, in our continued efforts to enhance the supply chain resilience in the current environment, the company has further diversified its raw material supplier base. Over the first nine months of FY24, the company has capitalized around 1,100 crore rupees in CapEx in the segment and is scheduled to capitalize an additional rupees 700 crore in CapEx in Q4. Such large CapEx values are a testament of our confidence in this business. When these projects come on stream, our immediate focus is on scaling up these new facilities in the subsequent quarters. We remain confident of a significant recovery in Q4 in our specialty chemicals business. In the fluorochemicals business, we navigated through a seasonally weak quarter for ref gases, marked by lower volumes and realizations, particularly in key global markets, which exerted pressure on margins. Despite the current impact on refrigerant gases, the underlying potential for global and domestic HFCs remains strong and with significant traction from India, the Middle East and Southeast Asia, which should play out in the ensuing quarters. Additionally, we believe that pricing will be more rational and we should be able to accrue benefits of that in our refrigerant gas business. In the industrial chemical segment, we witnessed slowdown in the agrochemicals and pharmaceutical industries, which adversely impacted the demand. Amidst these challenges, we successfully commissioned the PTFE and the R32 plant in Q3. Accordingly, our immediate focus will be on ramping up sales to optimize returns and efficiency in these newly commissioned facilities. In our packaging films business, SRF reported a decrease of 9% to Rs. 1,091 crore during the quarter. This downturn was largely due to the oversupply in both BOPET and BOPP film segments, which would put considerable pressure on profitability. Despite these market challenges, we performed relatively better when compared with the broader sector. Moving forward, our focus remains on enhancing operational efficiencies, optimizing costs, and strengthening our contractual sales to navigate through these tough conditions. We are pleased to highlight that we have commenced and successfully capitalized phase 1 of our aluminum foil facility on January 1, 2024. This phase represents an investment of around 536 crore. This cutting-edge facility has a high-precision rolling mill, enabling us to produce premium products in thinner gauges and wider widths. With this project, we will be amongst very few players globally who offer a wide portfolio of packaging substrates, BOPET, BOPP, and aluminum foil under one roof. Moving to our technical textiles business, we reported a healthy performance during the period under review, driven by an uptick in domestic demand for NTCF. Despite our Manali operations being impacted due to the Maichung cyclone in December 2023. Having said that, we have adequate insurance cover in place on a reinstatement value basis against such occurrences. I am glad to share that all our employees are safe and our team was able to largely restore and restart the machinery in record time. In the belting fabrics and polyester industrial yarn segments, we witnessed a healthy performance during the quarter and expect the demand to grow in near future due to an increased focus on infrastructure spending. Lastly, our coated fabric division reported all-time high domestic sales and profitability. This was primarily driven by strong demand for our products, including value-added products such as blackout fabrics, high GSM fabrics, and storage liners. In laminated fabrics, SRF continues to perform well, operating the plant at full capacity. Additionally, the Board of Directors has approved a second interim dividend at a rate of 36%, equivalent to Rs. 3.60 per share based on the paid-up equity share capital of the company. This decision follows the earlier approval on July 24, 2023 for the first interim dividend at the same rate of Rs. 3.60 per share. Moving on to the broader corporate achievements, SRF has garnered several prestigious accolades and acknowledgements for its various achievements. The company has been honored as Dun & Bradstreet's India's Top Value Creator 2023 in the chemicals category. Furthermore, SRF's annual report for 2022-23 has won the Gold Award and secured a position in the top 100 communications material worldwide at the League of American Communications Professionals, LCAPS, Global Communication Competition, the 2023 Spotlight Awards. Our Dahej site received the gold medal in the 2023 EcoVadis Sustainability Rating, reflecting our commitment to environmental stewardship. The company's commitment to social responsibility has also been recognized, with SRF being adjudged as the first runner-up in the education and skill training category at the CSR General Excellence Awards 2023. These accolades underscore the company's dedication to excellence and sustainability across various domains. 2024 marks SRF's 50th anniversary. Thanks to all our stakeholders, we have been doing business as a company for half a century since our first facility in Manali commenced product operations by manufacturing tire cord fabric in 1974. Our 50-year history is a series of transformation. As we look to the future, our position remains strong and promising for delivering sustained performance, particularly as the end market begins to rebound. Therefore, despite the recent challenges, our outlook for future remains positive. This optimism is based on our proven track record in developing high-quality complex products, all of which are supported by world-class infrastructure, skilled professional, and exceptional R&D capabilities in driving sustainable growth of our business for people and the society at large. On that note, I conclude my remarks on a positive note and am confident of a significantly improved performance in Q4 FY24. I would be glad to discuss any questions, comments or suggestions that you may have and would now like to ask the moderator to open the line for the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon, Rahul sir. So first question is on the agrochemical project. So we have, you just alluded that almost 1800 crores of CAPEX will be done during this year. My sense is that predominantly on the agrochemical projects. So what is the visibility that we have for the next financial year in terms of firm commitments from our clients? Thank you.
So you're right, Rohit, that we have done about 1100 crores of capitalization during the year. Not the entire amount may have been incurred during the year because that's a cash versus capitalization issue. But yes, roughly about 1100 crores already capitalized and about 700 crores to be capitalized during Q4 is the current target that we have. I believe that when we look at it, there will be a positive in terms of the overall positions that have been created. Some of the plants that were capitalized during the period have also resulted in significant revenues this quarter as well, and hopefully that momentum can sustain going forward. In order to be able to give you a more a better view of FY25, I think we will have to kind of wait a bit in order to be able to understand this better. Generally speaking, what we've done also in the past, Rohit, is to be able to give you a position once we are budgeting exercise and various other things that we do on an annual basis is completed. And let's say during the May call, we should be able to give you a better color of this. But like I said during the initial comments also, is the fact that we believe that there is good traction that we are seeing in Q4. In fact, some of the positives started to begin end of November, early December, and we believe that can continue going forward. I hope that answers it, Rohit.
Sure, that's helpful, sir. The second question is in terms of the how the ramp-up for PTFE and aluminum foil projects is expected. Based on, starting from, say, FY25, and when are they likely to reach maybe optimal utilization based on your internal assessment? Thank you.
So, I think both are different, so let me tackle them differently. PTFE was capitalized somewhere in October of 2023. We believe that it's a product that will require approvals. We are already getting into the bulk grade. The bulk grade is seemingly selling well. But the fact is that the overall operating leverage will play out in PTFE over the next 6 to 12 months, maybe slightly more than that. as we get into fine cut, as we get into, let's say, free flow and modified at later stage, we believe profitability should be better. However, if you look at only Q3, I don't think it is relevant because the size and scale of the project is so large that it will take time to ramp up. Our rough sense is basic products ramp up in 6 months, more of the value-added products in 12 to 18 months. That's how PTFE should pan out. Aluminium foil, we are looking at getting accelerated approvals from both local and global customers. That's also a journey that is in place. Hopefully some positive we should see in at the end of Q4, but largely I think maybe about 6 months for some of the global approvals to come through, 6 to 12 months for the global approvals to come through is what we would look at aluminium foil for.
Sure. Thanks for answering all the questions and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Vivek Rajmani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Two questions from my side. Firstly, on specialty chemicals, in terms of the significant improvement that you're expecting in the fourth quarter, is this a function of your new capacity ramp-up or customers making up for the orders that they had rescheduled earlier this year, or is it a function of just an improvement in the underlying demand from where we are? That's the first question.
Can I answer the first one before you ask the second one?
Sure, sir.
So you're right, Rohit. Like I said during the initial call also, the fact is that we've seen some significant positive of the new plants that were capitalized during the 9 months coming through. Some of the projects have started to do really well. We are seeing significant traction in some of those molecules that have been launched. And they are really adding to revenue. With respect to, and the second piece that you asked in terms of where the significant improvement that we are talking about comes through is the fact that we have always said that we have not seen any major order cancellations happen. What we have seen is delay, and what we have seen also is customers wanting the product again. We are seeing traction around that. So I think it's a combination of both that is panning out rather than one singular factor there. Vivek?
Sure, sir. That's really helpful. And the second question was on packaging. I understand it's a very tough environment. You've been highlighting that for a while. But we did see 2 quarters of sequential improvement in the first 2 quarters of this year. So just wanted to understand what really changed this quarter in terms of, you know, the decline. Was there a reduction in the utilization rates or volumes? Or any color around that would be very helpful.
So again, very difficult to be able to answer what changed during this quarter. To be very frank about it, what we have seen is that the pricing has been lower. The overall positions that have been created in the business from an overall environment and the overall industry perspective seem to be continuously going on the lower side. Margins are continuously under pressure. So that is essentially what we are seeing now. To be able to say why there was a sequential decline in quarter-on-quarter, I don't think we should look at it from that perspective. Again, from an annual perspective, when we look at, we will find significant, significant positive, but at least some lower negatives in that sense. When you look at it from an annualized perspective. Europe is kind of closed in Q3. Even South Africa, for that matter, also goes through a long holiday period. BOPET also is going through a tough environment. So I think those were the kind of factors that played out in Q3. Hopefully some of that will be better in Q4, given the fact that we've also started to see energy prices in Europe come down. What has also started to happen from a Q4 perspective, Vivek, is that you know the supply chain challenges that are existing in the Red Sea today. And therefore, some of the local European customers are kind of gravitating towards local suppliers. So to that extent, it should also be a slight positive for Hungary, albeit in the short term, is what we see here. Vivek?
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Abhijit Akila from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you so much for taking my questions.
Rahulji, on the specialty chemicals business, last quarter we had kind of indicated that we still expected at least a single-digit revenue growth for FY 2024. So just sort of wanted to get your perspective on whether that target is still achievable and how much roughly would the growth might have been YTD in the first three quarters of the year.
So again, frankly, Abhijit, you are right that we had said that we are very hopeful of a growth position that is getting created. Again, to be very frank about it, I'm still not giving up hope, right? So the way things are looking, it could be a very close call in terms of the overall operations and the overall revenues that play out in terms of what we had guided earlier. However, it is, to be very frank, a close call to be able to get there. We will have to find alternatives. We will have to find our positions on some of the chemicals. Again, I'll just say this. We are still very hopeful that we should be able to get there.
Yeah. But the YTD number, sir, is it possible to share something about how much it's been?
Let's say the overall sales is kind of negative by about 10%-11% when we compare nine-month to nine-month.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you. And just the last thing from my side was regarding the capacity utilization, actually, both in refrigerants and in packaging films, if you could just give us a flavor for how utilization is trending right now across the business.
You're talking about the packaging films business? Abhijit, you're talking about the packaging films business or some other business? Hello? Am I connected, operator?
Hello? Yes, yes, sir. You are audible.
I am audible. So maybe Abhijit has got disconnected. So just to answer Abhijit's question, and what I understood from the question was the overall utilization in the packaging films business. When we look at the overall capacity availability during Q3, roughly about 90%-91% was our capacity utilization.
Hello, Arjun sir? Arjun sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the answer?
Actually, I haven't asked a question yet.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
That was Abhijit Kotak. I think he's dropped off. Maybe you can go to the next person wanting to ask the question, please.
Sir, I think he's unmuted me. I'm Arjun from Kotak Mutual Funds.
Hi, Arjun.
Hello, sir. So actually, first, just carrying forward from the earlier question, in terms of the spec chem, from what you've indicated, essentially in the fourth quarter, if you're saying a close call, essentially we are, in a sense, guiding towards maybe a growth from the previous year. And the previous year, fourth quarter was exceptionally strong. Is that the right understanding of your comment, sir?
Okay, again, Arjun, to be very frank about it, you do not have a color on this because when we look at numbers on a quarter-on-quarter basis, what you see is numbers on CB as a whole. Now, when I look at CB as a whole, Q4 number last year, it would also have some performance of the fluorochemicals business, which was a positive at that point in time. What I'm only trying to say is that the significant positive that we are talking about or the significant recovery that we are talking about is largely the spec chem business. And again, given where this environment is today, Arjun, we still feel very positive for Q4 for the specialty chemicals business. I don't want to get into looking at it from a Q4 versus Q4 and what's the growth number and what's the position on that side. I hope that answers it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Sir, when we look at spec chem nine-month, we do get some flavor on the export numbers. And the fact that you have mentioned maybe a low double-digit decline in spec chem essentially means we are selling a lot of product on the domestic side. Would that be the correct way of understanding this?
Yeah, but Arjun, when we talk about selling domestically also, I think it is also to a very large extent at the behest of our global customers only.
Right, because new formulation facilities are being set up in India.
Right. So to that extent, while there may be a, if you look at it from a pure mix perspective, let's say 3 years ago or 2 years ago, when it was 90%-95% of exports, we are probably at about 75% of exports today, if you look at it from that perspective. But when you look at it from a domestic perspective also, that also at the behest of the global customers only. So we don't really want to differentiate in that sense. We still believe our global customer share in our business is still about 90-95%.
No, fair. I'm just saying in terms of tracking only export numbers, that doesn't probably give the full picture.
I mean, you guys track export a lot more closely than I do. So
sure.
When you look at January numbers coming in and when you look at February numbers coming in, you will probably get a better sense than what I will.
Fair enough. The second question is just if you look at CAPEX FY23, we did roughly 2,850 crores and we mentioned we are capitalizing roughly 1,800 crores in FY24. So essentially the remaining part of the CAPEX, what are the major projects which will probably come in FY25?
So again, Arjun, as of now, the projects that have been sanctioned, which are multi-year projects, are roughly about 1,100 crores. That will get incurred in FY25 and 26, so 2 years. Now, given the fact that this year the overall capex number has been slightly lower, what we do see is the fact that next year, what we will end up seeing is probably in the range of about 2,200 crores as the overall capex. Again, the mix remains in what we've talked, 80% in the chemicals business and the balance in others. Now, the way things will work out is that's a traction that will continue to go on, at least for the near term and the near future as well. When we also look at, let's say, an overall guidance of 15,000 crores that we had talked about at some point in time, maybe a year and a half ago,
right.
I think to a certain extent we have achieved that for FY23 and FY24, but when we look at it, from an overall 5-year, 6-year perspective, if not 5 years, this will probably get done in 6 years. So that's the only change. Again, our balance sheet remains strong. Our commitment to CapEx remains very strong. So that is something that we believe will continue. I hope that answers it also.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. And wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi, Rahulji. Just one question from my side. I think you mentioned that almost INR 18 billion worth of projects have been commissioned. So just wanted
to... So I said 1,100 in the spec chem space, and I was only talking spec chem. 1,100 done, and 700 to be done in Q4 is what I had said, Krishan. So just correcting you on that. Because there is a PTFE that has also been capitalized, there is a 32 that has also been capitalized, and various other smaller projects also. So when I referred to 1,100 crore, that was only for the spec chem business.
Yes, I should have clarified, yeah. I was referring to more of spec chem. So let's say 1,100 that you have capitalized and 700 you are going to capitalize in 4Q, so total about 1,800 crores. So just wanted to understand, till we achieve, let's say, better, let's say 60-70% plant utilization of these capexes, could there be, let's say, the near-term margin pressure?
Could that create margin pressure? I didn't get the question completely.
I mean, till you actually achieve, optimum utilization or let's say 75 or 80% utilization, your cost could be higher and the revenue could be lower. So could there be, let's say, a case where your initial margins could be under pressure?
Krishan, not really. I would tend to believe that that's a journey that continues. Right? There will be new capexes that will get capitalized, which will take time to ramp up. Those that were capitalized last year are ramping up today, while the industry still is a kind of a negative. What you are saying from mathematically is right, that it will always have a small negative on the operating leverage. Like for example, when the PTFE gets capitalized, it will take time to ramp up. So to that extent, there will be a negative operating leverage. But I don't think it should be very significant in that sense.
Understood. One bit on that. So do you have like any guidance for margin range, let's say for 25? I know you don't...
Krishan, we don't do that. I would tend to believe that, again, from an overall perspective, the margin for Q4 should be better than what we have achieved in Q3. That's the only thing that I can tell you. I can't go into a range of the margin also.
No problem, no problem. This is helpful. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on the fluoro-speciality. See, sir, do you find any challenge to the or whatever the kind of underperformance in the fluoro-speciality currently that we have witnessed? It is obviously because of the weak demand situation that has been prevailing globally and largely in the agri. But it is even pricing also is a kind of a concern, sir.
Surya, I think what our judgment typically gets clouded with is what was the price last year and what is the price this year.
Huh, correct.
Right? If you look at FY23, the pricing of was through the roof for certain products, and that is what people were talking about, why is the pricing so high. Right? We had said that this is a temporary phenomenon, the pricing will get normalized. I think what has also happened today is that the pricing has come down also very significantly for some of the key refrigerant gases. Now, while there is some demand issue that is there, I don't think overall when we look at it from a worldwide perspective, HFC demand is going anywhere. Because if let's say the US is degrowing and Europe is degrowing, some of the things in India, Middle East, Southeast Asia, all of those geographies will continue to grow. So to that extent, I don't see too much of a demand challenge in that sense. The other piece that I want to talk about is when you say the pricing challenge. Yes, today there is a pricing challenge. There is the pricing of certain products has come down. But at the end of the day, when we look at it, the ROCs for even this business remain very, very comfortable and very strong. So that's how we would look at it and continue to manage it from that perspective.
Okay.
It is a bit of a weak environment today. But like I said, we are very confident that this environment also changes a bit.
Okay, sir, my just one more extended clarification, sir. I was believing that the fluoro-speciality, since it is contractual supply and customized supply for innovators, so there should not be kind of any major price fluctuation for the product irrespective of the market condition. So whether that segment also would have seen some kind of price erosion, sir?
Again, to be very frank about it, these are discussions that will always happen with the customer. While there may be some contracted positions you have, you fill up those contracted positions, the new contract will always have to see what are the raw material cost positions that have got to create it. So I would not say that there are no discussions on that happen. There will always be discussions. Customers will always want a lower price. There is some Chinese competition that we are also starting we've also seen in the business. There is some dumping happening of certain products. So all of that is playing out. But even then, what we are saying essentially is that we are getting into more complex products, we are getting into more advanced intermediates, we are getting into more active intermediates, and therefore our margin profiling should remain typically better. So that's how we would look at it.
Yeah, okay. And regards to our 32 plant, now after commissioning, do you have any ready contract with customers for supplying?
For ref gases, there are no contracted positions that get created. It's largely based on demand and supply.
Okay. And just last one clarification from my side, sir. See, in fact, the CapEx momentum is continuing the way that we have been guiding. It is although we have seen some marginal kind of slippage in terms of timeline, but let's say next year, while the visibility is coming up positively for demand for execution of the projects and implementation of the projects and all that, do you think, sir, the kind of execution or the ramp up of the asset would be in line with what you have been initially thinking about it?
Yeah, again, you're right that there have been some delays, various geopolitical issues, various supply chain issues, various other things that have created that kind of a situation. But when you compare our, let's say, CapEx positioning versus some of our peers, I think we've still done a fairly good job in terms of getting us there. Right? So ramp up of the CapEx obviously is a slower process, but we are fairly confident that some of the CapExes that we have done some of them in the specialty chemical space have already started to provide some positive, and that should be a trend that can continue.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So, sir, just wanted to understand, of course, you have a healthy capex momentum and a multitude of projects going upstream. Just wanted to know, I mean, of course, with the whole environment, you know, the prices for intermediates being driven down, I'm sure the IRRs for these projects must have been affected. But so just wanted to know in that perspective, how are you managing to, you know, safeguard these IRRs? So one is, would be, you know, your 85% of your products on agrochemicals are patented, so you'll have a certain price protection. As you mentioned, client negotiations are there. Or will you probably revise downwards the capex? Just wanted to know what are the tools you have to safeguard these IRRs on a multitude of projects which you are executing.
So, again, Jason, when we look at it from an IRR perspective, let's say when you conceptualize the project and then when you execute it, IRRs come through over the next 5 to 10 years in that sense. Right? When we are looking at the project, we are also looking at various other multipurpose plants, what we can do in those projects, what are the more value-added products that we can continue to produce, what are the more complex products that we can continue to do, and therefore, ensure that the IRRs kind of remain in good shape. Now, when you start a project versus when you have gone through a 10-year phase of the project, only then will you come to know of the exact IRRs that have panned out. To be very frank about it, what we've seen over a period of time is that we typically achieve the IRRs that we've started with or in fact bettered them over a period of time. I think that as a trend can continue for us.
Okay, sure, sir. Sure. And so just wanted to understand, I mean, last call you did allude to a lot of significant competition in terms of refrigerant gases, particularly from the Chinese players. Just wanted to know in that perspective only, which subsets of our chemical, we have a wide range, you know, AIs are there, you have fluorochemicals, refrigerants, which subset are you seeing the maximum Chinese competition? And
maximum
also,
HFC.
Hello? Maximum is HFC. And so if you could just speak about, you know, you just, of course, you know, it's very tough to match the Chinese on cost competitiveness. So, of course, you will have to move higher up the value chain.
I don't agree with that, Jason. I think cost competitiveness is fairly in good shape with us as well. We are not worried on the cost competitiveness side. But what the Chinese end up doing in some situations is to be able to push the price down even below variable cost, which is the problematic thing that happens. So, it's a situation that Chinese create sometimes in the market, given the fact that they have large capacities and large inventories that have been built up, and they just want to liquidate the inventory. So that's how it ends up happening. Sorry, you were saying something, I kind of interjected.
Yes, sir. Thanks for that bit as well. I mean, just wanted to understand, you've spoken about, of course, basically venturing higher up the complexity value chain, customized products for customers, which is an effective moat, which will form an effective moat for your business. So just wanted to know from you, what if you could throw some more color on this, like how exactly are you doing it? I understand it's not very easy to encapsulate it, but just wanted to know from you one and some more color on this, that how you're doing it.
Yeah, again, I think at the end of the day, our R&D, our CTG group, in terms of what is the kind of products that we are looking at, what's the complexity, what's the position that we are creating, I think at the end of the day, it starts and kind of ends also with our CTG group to be able to do some work in terms of either the product, either or complexity of the product, environment load of the product, manufacturing the product in a more efficient manner. I think those are the key elements that pan out. Again, like you said, it is very difficult to be able to give you a single pinpoint or a single, position on this one. It's a combination of various factors, Jason.
Sure. Thanks for that. Those answers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi sir, good afternoon. Sir, couple of questions from my side. Sir, first is on our three new products which we have launched in agrochemicals.
No, you are not audible. Can you just pick up the speaker and pick up the handset and talk, please?
Just a second. Sir, am I audible now?
Much better, thank you.
Okay. Sir, I was saying that in agrochemicals, you have launched 3 new products and I think 2 more you are saying to be launched in the current quarter. Just wanted to understand that these are the products where we are still seeing some Chinese competition or low demand or inventory destocking taking place in those products as well, and the pickup will be slower than what anticipated, or they are the new molecules and we'll see no such pressure?
No, typically I would say that these are the new ones, and therefore as of now, not a significant position from the Chinese on those ones.
Okay, so sir, is it so that the revenue pickup in Q4, where you seem to be very confident about growth in Spectrum, will be mainly driven by these new launches?
No, I think I answered that question in the beginning also, Rohan. Somebody had asked. I think it is a combination of various factors. We have said in the past as well that what we've seen is deferment of orders. Some of those deferred orders are starting to play out. So that's the way we are looking at it. Some of the flagship products also, we are seeing some traction coming back on them. There are certain geopolitical situations that have got created, largely in the Red Sea, where customers are now starting to ensure that the deliveries are faster and more quantities being ordered. So all of those factors playing out, plus obviously the newer products that have got capitalized are also starting to show up in the revenues. So it's a combination.
Sir, if I see your business in a specialty chemical in line with the industry, probably the many of the industry players have seen a significant drop in revenues in 9 months. However, though for you also it has been weak, but probably much better than the industry. Is it because mainly the products which we have are the specialty or with the innovators in nature, and that's what has protected us in terms of the revenue growth or less decline in revenues?
So I didn't catch the last part. You are saying that we are better than the industry, but what's the question here?
Yeah, so I'm saying that we have done better than the industry. It is mainly driven by the product basket, because you also said in one of the comments, that you are also witnessing competition from China, and customers also sometimes move to Chinese supplies. So what has helped us in terms of doing better than the industry in the current scenario?
It's a large product portfolio, Rohan. We are today almost at 35-40 products that we supply. Our total dedicated plants today are probably in the range of about 17-18. Right? So to that extent, I think it's a wide product basket that we have. Compare it to 2016-17. Right? The number of products is much larger. So while some of the products do get affected, I think there is a good hedge that has got created over a period of time.
And sir, you have mentioned in your presentation that you see the demand outlook is getting better, and inventory rationalization, though it's still going on, is improving. So in last 3 to 4 months, the scenario which was significantly impacted from China, and I think that most of the Indian players could not anticipate that this problem coming in month of April, May, and the inventory destocking suddenly took place in June, July, August, September. So do we see that there can be further possibility of that scenario getting repeated, because the Chinese suppliers are still remaining aggressive, the capacities are still remaining there. So how do we, how confident we are that the situation have improved and we may not witness what we have seen in the current year?
I can only talk about SRF, then talk about other competitive positions that are being created. We are also looking at the fact that in the specialty chemical space, the order book is seemingly very strong. So I can only tell you that much. From a fluorochemical perspective and ref gases, prices seem to have started to edge up. And that's what it is, Rohan. Why were we doing better than our competition? I think it could be a product profiling issue, it could be a product basket issue, it could be a complexity issue, and various others. So very difficult to pinpoint it from a peer's perspective.
Sir, that's it from my side. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, sir. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. So my first question is on the domestic fluorochemicals business. Just wanted to check if there has been a growth there year on year, and you know, what kind of volume growth would you have seen there, and your outlook you know, on the domestic fluorochemicals, the refrigerants business, if you could just give some color.
You're talking about the fluorochemicals or ref gas business?
Yes, yes.
So again, we will have to look at it from two or three perspectives. Typically, when we see this, Q1 for each financial year from a domestic perspective is the strongest quarter. Again, given where the, let's say, the positions are from a heat perspective in the local Indian market. So that's what we typically end up seeing. But from a medium term perspective, what we believe is that the Indian market is still a growing market. We will see more traction from domestic producers, be it RAC, be it mobile air conditioning. So that should pan out. And overall, I think as the shift happens in terms of the requirement of refrigeration in India, I think the market is set to grow only. So that's the medium term outlook from a ref gas market perspective. Also, when you look at it, there are no major players in the HFC space from our perspective when you compare the industry players around it. So I think we've built a significant moat in the business. We've built a significant share in the market. We will continue to expand into more, let's say, in the domestic market. The export market also, both from a Middle East, Southeast Asia, to a certain extent US, will continue to grow for us going forward as well. It may be a situation where some of the gases may be degrowing. There could be other gases that could end up growing. So that's how we would look at it from a medium term perspective, Nitesh.
Thank you. Yeah, so my next question is on the effective tax rate. If we see 9 month ETR was around 27%. So what is it going to be for the full year and for FY25? If you could just give some indication.
Nitesh, the best is when you look at it to look at standalone. Right? When you look at standalone, we are now in the new tax regime. We will probably be in the range of 25.5 to 25.8% as an overall ETR from a standalone perspective. Each of the other entities have a different position. Thailand has certain incentives. Hungary has certain other kinds of incentives. There are certain positions in South Africa. So instead of looking at it on a consolidated basis, the best is to look at it on a standalone basis, where India will be at roughly in that 25.5 to 25.8 range of the ETR.
Right, sir. So just one last thing, if I may squeeze in. So on the contribution of pharma in the current spec chem revenues, and where do you see this moving in the next couple of years?
So as of now, it's low, to be very frank about it. Right, there is a focus around it. We believe in Q4 also there will be some positive around it. But in the medium term, we should get to significant numbers on pharma. Again, agro has been a very significant positive for us, and I think that's an area we are continuing to expand. The numbers don't look very encouraging as of now, given on a Q-on-Q basis. But overall, I think there is positive traction on the pharma side as well, and that should play out in the medium term, Nitesh.
Right, so that's helpful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I have two questions. Especially can you
Sorry, Sanjesh, very muddled voice. Can you be a bit closer or something else? I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
No, very badly.
Hello?
Yeah, go on, Sanjesh. If you speak only, then will I be able to hear.
So I got two questions. One on the specialty and one on refrigerant gas. The specialty, this 1800 of
the course of... Maybe you will have to reconnect. We are unable to hear you.
Okay. Hello? Probably can hear me now?
Very, very feebly, Sanjesh. Is it only me or operator? Is everyone not able to hear Sanjesh?
Hello, Sanjesh sir. Can you reconnect again in the queue? Okay, sir. So the next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. And good to hear positive outlook for your specialty chemical. Just one question on packaging side. First of all, on this aluminum foil business. Initially, I mean, the CapEx size was somewhere 450 crore, which ended up around 536 crore. Initially the asset turn was 1.7 to 2 times what we have indicated. So currently also we are maintaining that asset turn, or is there will be some changes?
Let me first give you the reason for the increase in the capex cost. Now, during the period of implementation, you know that the commodity prices have gone through the roof. One of the reasons for the capex cost being higher was a higher commodity price position that was playing out, Rohit. Second, I think one of the, and the more important thing is that what we have done in terms of when we were doing the project is getting better specs on the aluminium foil. How much of a thinner gauge aluminium foil can we produce will give you a better value add. So we've kind of reconfigured our thought process from the initial one to be able to produce maximum thinner gauge aluminium foil. So those are the two key reasons for the capex being higher. In terms of the multiplier, I think it still remains there or thereabouts. But again, as aluminium foil ramps up, it will probably take 6 to 12 months. Hopefully, as we also continue to move into thinner gauges, the value that we will create here will be much better. So that's how we would look at it, Rohit.
Okay, sir. And lastly, on just on BOPET and BOPP side, just to hear what kind of situation we are seeing and how this margin is going to be shaped up going forward, as we are now below 5% EBIT margin. So still, I know still oversupply situation is there, but how we are seeing this from your side?
On BOPET, again, I think it's a story which will probably take another 12 months, maybe slightly more than that, to kind of normalize. We are still seeing growth in demand from a domestic market perspective, but the oversupply situation kind of continues. You know that this is also a business that has been the most impacted and the most cyclical business in that sense. So BOPET will continue probably like that for the period that I talked about. BOPP is doing better. There are no new supplies that we hear around it, but the Chinese will always keep putting up new lines. There will be some pressure on that as well. But again, Rohit, I think the bigger point here is that when you compare this to, let's say, some of our peers, I think our value-added product profile, our customer traction, our relationships have actually helped us even still with the kind of environment that we are in to be continue to do well. We are going into, let's say, more value-added products. You heard the announcement on the capacitor grade film that came in. So I think we are in fairly good shape on that one as well. It is the market cycle that is playing out today, and we are still doing pretty much all right. So that's how we would look at it, Rohit.
Okay. And what kind of utilization level we are operating at in this?
Roughly speaking, around 90%, 90-91% overall.
Okay, that is from my side. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Just a simple question. So typically for your spec chem business specifically, how does the working capital, what are your working capital days between debtors and finished goods stock?
So give me just a minute. I don't have that number readily available. But generally speaking, Tarangji, what we look at is that typically we want to manage our working capital in a good shape. Roughly speaking, net working capital basis will be at about 20-25%.
Okay, and have you seen an expansion year versus say 2 years back?
No, I think we've actually been able to manage it lower.
Oh, it's come off, is it?
We've been able to manage it lower is what I said.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you, sir. So no changes in terms of your working capital, right? It remains at 20-25%.
Well, give me one second. I'll give you a good range on it. I may have spoken off my head. Just give me one sec. So the NCA to net sales as of now are roughly in the range of about 30%. But we typically try and manage it at specialty chemicals business only. And last year we were somewhere in the range of about 20%, 24%. So that's how it is. But again, it's a business that is a batch-based business. So to that extent, I do believe we will come back to more normalized levels by the end of Q4.
And all the expansion that you are seeing from say 25% to 30%, because of it being a batch-based business, it's all the raw material or WIP-led.
Largely inventory, raw material and FG-led.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, thank you so much. Sir, the question was on the US ref gas market for us.
Please repeat. I am unable to hear you.
Yeah, sir. The US ref gas market for us, the cuts, I think, have come in. So probably a bit early, but how do you see for us, the US ref gas market, the cuts, 2024 cuts have come in, I think. So how do you see the market for us, positive, negative, in terms of volumes and probably pricing? And also related to this was the... I think there was some capacity which had come up in Middle East, big capacity, but was probably not playing as per the rules. So any development in terms of events there, if you can share. Thanks.
So from a U.S. market perspective, it is not cuts that have come in for us. It is the overall production that has to get cut from a U.S. market perspective. Again, because production will get cut, we believe there may be some negative around it in terms of the overall, sales that we can make around in the U.S. market. But again, I think it's a mix that will pan out. Because of the fact that the cuts are not based on a gas-by-gas basis, they are largely based on a GWP equivalence basis. What we will end up seeing on that side also is that some of the gases in the U.S. might expand, while some may kind of fizzle out. So that's how the medium term will play out, Dhruv, on that side. What was your second question? I kind of missed it.
The capacity in Middle East probably not playing as per the rules, and there could be some implications on that capacity. Any development which is worth.
There is a lot of chat about that Middle East capacity of about 30,000-40,000 tons that is coming through. But what we are kind of unable to, we are also kind of figuring it out as of now, is what's the basis of where they are getting the force power from, if they are getting an HF, where are they getting that HF from. It's a bit of a quandary as of now. Nobody really knows about that capacity or whether it is producing. Right? You also may be aware that there are certain circumvention, positions that the U.S. market is also talking about for some of the imports that are happening from these jurisdictions that you are talking about in the U.S.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks. Thank you so much, Anand. Thanks.
Thank you, Dhruv.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from Afflecurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, my question is on the spec chem side. So you mentioned that for the first 9 months, there is a degrowth of roughly 10-11% in terms of the revenue. And you are hopeful that this fiscal will end up with maybe stable or largely lower negative side of the growth. And there is some deferment of the revenues also. So what is the quantum of the deferment of the revenue, and what is the key reason for that? That is it is impossible to be able to give you the details in that granularity. That's the base trend that we are talking about. We will continue with the trend only, rather than giving you numbers around what's the deferment, what's the position that is playing out. Impossible to do that.
Okay. And how is the overall demand? Do you see, you know, in terms of spec camp, is it bottom up? Do you, how is the overall sign in terms of the demand environment? Can you share some thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was well answered during the call. We are very positive in terms of what the what we are seeing for Q4. And when you look at it from an overall FY25 perspective, I think we will probably be able to provide some guidance around it, probably in May or when we do our May call. So that's how it is.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to management team for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you've been able to answer some of your questions. I hope that each one of you continues to remain safe and healthy. If you have any further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on the call. Thank you. Bye-bye.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.